Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
The truth is, as a franchise, we've done a very poor job in the past of addressing serious topics head on. And we're not going to miss that opportunity here tonight.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and we're coming to you with a very rare Wednesday episode, which means last night there was a game.
Hump day.
That we have to recap. That's right. Hump day, not to be confused with sex week.
Usually hump day is our hallowed day off.
That is true.
but not today. We have a big breakdown of the Women Tell All. A lot of important plays happened tonight. Some historic stuff went down. And of course, we had the revelation that we are going to have a new Bachelorette. And that got announced at the end of this episode officially. So we're going to break all that down. But we also have to remind you, also out today is a brand new episode of Off Contract with Courtney Robertson, in which she talks to her father about what it was like for a parent during hometowns, because he survived one with Ben Flanick back in season 16 of Bachelor.
I love that so much. I can't wait to listen. I think her father needs to be a recurring character.
Yeah, he's great. Absolutely great. And she also talks to Casey Steamer, who's a player from season 16 with her. They became close friends and they reveal a mountain of tea about what went on in their season with producer manipulation, with falling in love with producers, which I was like, what the fuck? I didn't realize that had happened. And they also deliver some insight into when is the best time to take a laxative. And I have a hint for you. It is not right before you go on a group date. You will hear all those stories and more if you go to Off Contract and listen to that episode today. It is some wild shit. So we hope you enjoy that. But
literally.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Speaking of wild shit, we heard some talk about that tonight on the Women Tell All as well. So let's get into it, Pace Case, and do what we came here to do.
And now, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues proudly present analysis of play in this week of our beloved game. This is Game of Roses.
All right, we got the Women Tell All tonight. Now, we know the Women Tell All is essentially every season a player's last opportunity to prove to the producers they are worthy of an invitation to paradise. Some players already have this in the bag. If you made it to the top six, you're basically going to get an invite. If you didn't, you got to do some work. That work may come in the form of jumping into every fight you possibly can, whether you have any first-person experience in that fight or not. That work can come in the form of delivering scripted lines that the producers give you to try and create drama. That work can come in...
Or scripted comedy bits.
Yes, comedy bits, whatever. The producers...
Or scripted racism bits.
Exactly. Well, we'll get to that. I mean, Greer was definitely doing some producer dirty work here tonight, but the producers will very often offer these players open invitations to paradise if you do this for us. So they will dangle paradise literally in front of the player's face. They will say it openly to them in back channel deals. If you go out there on stage and you do this, we will invite you to paradise. Mm-hmm. Now, that can be a lie, and in many cases is. Or they can Alexa Ray Caves you and bring you to paradise and then hold you a prisoner in a hotel room for 2.5 weeks and never let you come out. So play at your own risk in the Women Tell All, everyone, because you don't know. You can't trust the producers ever, and this is probably the time when they lie to players the most.
I love Women Tell All. I actually think it's like one of the... It's wild shit, as Clues might say.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody kind of has an even playing field. I mean, some people get hot seats, but everyone's got a chair. You could theoretically, it's a meritocracy in the Women Tell All, and anyone could get their time.
Theoretically, but you also are contending with an edit. While it is shot live, they still edit it before they air it. This was shot a couple of weeks ago. And
all players has to contend with the edit.
That's absolutely correct. And I think tonight we saw some players completely dismissed in the edit. One chief among them, a certain Christina Mandrell. We will get to that.
Or was it a new form of shy style?
Christina Mandrell is not a shy style player. Sorry to say it. I don't think she can ever do shy style.
No words can be used against you if you don't say them.
Yeah.
You only speak in face play.
Well, I wonder if Mandrell wants to go to paradise. Anyway, we'll get to it. We're getting ahead of ourselves as always. Let's begin this. Episode 9, The Women Tell All. Tonight, on a very special edition of The Bachelor, Mr. Palmer, Dark Lord Palmer, who, by the way, can you finally admit to me this man is a sinister fucking Dark Lord?
I just knew by your tone what you were going to do. Don't come at me with that tone.
This man is sinister. We're going to get to it. But when they came out of every fucking hot seat, out of every reel.
You think the man who chose Charity to be the next Bachelorette could be sinister?
Oh my God. We'll get to it. Jesus Christ. So he says tonight on a very special edition of The Bachelor, the Women Tell All, lace up the shoes, favorite women reunite, We'd see some direct attacks. Mandrell is present. Kat is face playing her ass off and did all night long. Fantastic work from her. A night of drama. Anastasia is going to be accused of a pre-show boyfriend. Charity gets a hot seat. Shallcrank, or what was his name?
Shallcrank. Shacklecross.
Shacklecross. Shacklecross is back.
Shallcrank is the name that we think his band should be.
Right? Yeah.
DJ Shallcrank.
Jess was led on. We see some tears. One very big surprise. One woman's life is about to change forever. And DLP is going to change it right now. We see it's the women tell all. It starts right now. Portion one. Live audience, as we always see. That same studio they always shoot in. I love the feeling of it. It's fucking electric.
I love the studio. I was just going to say, I fucking love seeing the studio. I get excited. As soon as I see that studio, I'm like, fanny flutters. You know what I mean?
I don't, but this is where you get to see the fourth audience.
Fucking watch Love Island, Clues.
I mean, I know what it means. God. I'm saying I don't have personal experience with it. But this is where you get to see the fourth audience.
PTC.
This is where you get to see the fourth audience directly in the document and to some degree interacting with the show itself, having some part in the presentation. Granted, it's an edited part. It's all fake. They record as you know, Pace, case you were there, they record audience reactions and cut them in as they see fit. So none of this is actually real. But nonetheless, you get the feeling that it might be, which is great.
And there's like little real bits that shine through no matter what they do. And one of those little bits that shines through, we see people holding up signs. Zach the Snack. A producer line. Even bad bitches cry sometimes or whatever. I was like, wow, they really put a line a producer set on the show on a sign. Okay.
And those are the only two signs we get for the whole show. I was very surprised by that.
Well, on a piece of paper.
Oh, God, that's true. That's true. Okay, we're about to get to it.
Because in the audience, there is one lady. And she is wearing what looks to be a three-quarter length black shirt. And on top of it is a white t-shirt. And on top of the white t-shirt is the word sex week. And they pan to this woman as DLP says, we have Charity. We even have Christina Mandrell. It's almost fantasy suites, or as Zach calls it, sex week. So we have this woman and she is wearing this shirt on top of her other shirt, but she has restored the necklace to be on top of the shirt. She is committing to the look and I really respected that. And the fact that the shirt is on top of another shirt makes me think someone just threw this to her in the audience. It was like, someone wear this. And she was like, I'll do it. And that's why she gets my
Jorge Moreno. Bystander of the week.
She was great. She would have gotten mine as well. Early on in tonight's game, I was like, for sure, she's going to have it. Somebody beat it out for me a little bit later. But I agree with you. This is a producer-made shirt. They're really trying to hit this sex week joke. They make DLP say it 250 fucking times. I get it. That's what he called it. By the way, that's what it is. It's Zach's words, not mine. No, actually, Mike Fleiss created a TV show that in season one had a sex week. It's been there for 23 years. At any rate.
Ma'am?
I applaud this woman, though, for wearing this shirt. I mean, Jesus Christ.
DLP says, it's not my word. I'm sure he regrets them now, but it's no laughing matter because it's shocking. And tonight, someone's life will change forever. I was like, is this going to be some fucking like tattoo or something? It's going to be a horrible reveal like that.
That's what I wrote down. I was like, they did this before and it was a cruise for the audience. I said, at this point, this could be a Jelly of the Month Club subscription. We don't know. But it's not. It's not.
I like that they're restoring it to its proper
I agree.
Height.
I agree. You can only lie to an audience for so long before we get fucking tired of it.
We're obsessed with you. Don't mess with us.
Yeah, just give us what we want. God damn it.
Give us what we want. DLP says, you know, Bachelor Nation, you're dedicated. I've seen football fans but Bachelor Nation viewing parties. So we stop by some and we get this reel that we haven't seen in years. Where they go to Bachelor Nation viewing parties, the most famous of which I would argue is Goldini's season, in which he performed a not so voluntary nudity play when the watching parties made him take off his shirt.
And that watching party that made him take off his shirt...
He's our bachelor.
...was a very specific one. Because this sequence of watch parties begins with DLP and Zach Shallcrank, Shallcross. What is his goddamn name? Shacklecross.
Yeah, it's Shallcrank. It's Shallcrank.
Zach Shallcrank and DLP are in the back of a party bus just having some bro time by themselves all alone in a party bus. Why do they make these men go around in a fucking party bus? I don't know. Easier to shoot in, maybe. I don't know.
The party bus just really emphasized what an odd couple these two are.
I agree. Very bizarre. But I went back immediately and I watched the same thing from the Women Tell All of season 17, Goldini. And let me tell you, Goldini and Dark Lord Harrison are traveling in a party bus by themselves. Mm. And Goldini and Chris Harrison go to a very specific location on one of the crashings. They go to the Delta Gamma house at UCLA. Strangely enough, Shallcrank and DLP, the first stop is the Delta Gamma house at UCLA. They go to the exact same sorority house that Goldini went to. I was matching it frame for frame. It's the same door. It's the same building.
Unreal.
Absolutely fucking incredible. And I was like, they're going to make him go shirtless. They didn't. That was the only change here.
Like, they're... No one who is still at that sorority, maybe the upper echelon, would still be there. So they recontacted the sorority, or it's like the biggest viewing party on campus or something. The sorority players say that he is hotter in person.
You have to imagine that in the sorority, it's part of, at this point, UCLA Delta Gamma lore. I imagine there are pictures of that whatever it would have been, 2013 or 2014 class. I imagine there's pictures of them with DLH and Goldini all around the house, at least one somewhere important. And now they get to match that.
I remember there was a picture of Condoleezza Rice on our wall.
What?
Because she was an alum of the sorority.
She crashed your bachelor viewing party.
There were a bunch of like famous people. Yeah, kind of the same idea. But I think you're right. They absolutely would have a hall of that. I'm happy to have this. Are you kidding me? I love this. I love delving into the nation.
I do too.
And I love what comes up even more. An homage to Game of Roses, no doubt. We see a bracket of the players from the season, and DLP is examining it. He is interested, and he points out where the bracket got busted when the person had Bailey beating Charity.
Yeah.
I loved this moment.
Hit too close to home.
More. I need more of this. What do you mean? What do you mean hit too close to home?
I thought you had Bailey beating Charity in your final picks. Am I wrong about this?
Oh, I don't think I had either of them in my final picks.
Nonetheless, they then enter a house with some people who have this cake.
You're not excited that they had a fucking sports bracket?
Yeah, it's just like Fantasy Bachelor. Fantasy Bachelor to me is, I'm not that interested in it, I have to say. I'm much more interested in like the hardcore numbers, the actual data.
It is, fantasy is a representation of what we do, Clues.
I understand. I just have never been into like fantasy sports. I used to love all other sports. At some point in my life, I've been very into watching baseball or football or whatever. And I can never get into the fantasy things of it. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't appeal to me. I don't know why. No shade to anyone who loves it.
It's not that you need to get into it. It's that it's saying that it's a game. It's a sport.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's that. Look, there are a million other things that people said tonight that also prove that. DLP thinks it's a fucking sport. He likened it to football. He's like, there's some crazy football.
I almost texted you when this happened, and obviously I'm just stupid.
No. I mean, I don't think it's an...
Clues doesn't even care. But the Game of Roses homage.
I'm sorry. I thought more of an homage to Game of Roses was when DLP says, I've seen some crazy football fans, but Bachelor fans put them to shame because of their Monday night viewing parties. And I was like, if that right there doesn't tell you it's a fucking sport, nothing does. He says the fans of this sport are more into their sport than football. But we see some of these fans in another crashing. They enter a house. And some people have a cake with their images on it, with Shawcross and DLP's images.
You're not even going to talk about the women who tackle shell crank to the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's in the sorority. He comes into the sorority and they fucking mob him and take him down. And so this is something.
I loved that play.
It was unreal.
Unexpected.
Definitely unexpected, but also contrived. This is a thing made up by producers. These sorority members didn't just be like, let's tackle the bachelor. Producers were like, tackle him now. So we got that same element of like, the producers can control him. Just like they made Goldini take off his shirt, they're going to make you get tackled.
It's just like the shirt take off.
Yeah.
It's serving the exact same function.
Yes, I agree 100%.
You are our Hunger Games contestant, and you will never get out.
Yeah, let the fans fucking mob you symbolically. That's what we want to happen. And then they go into this other house where there's a cake and there is an image of DLP and Shell Crank on it. And it's somebody's birthday. They have this elaborate party. And we cut to a tiny dog in a silver dress named Togo. And Togo.
Toko.
What is it?
Toko.
Toko? I thought it was Togo. Whatever it is. Toko was my. Creature of the week. This dog was cute as fuck.
I also have a good friend named Toko, and that's why Toko the white pup is my.
Creature of the week.
Shout out to Toko.
They put Toko in a fucking dress for this occasion. They said, Toko, you're about to meet bachelor royalty. Put on your finest apparel. And Toko did just that. This was incredible.
Toko, you're about to win an award through our favorite podcast.
It's unbelievable. It's not enough that Toko is incredibly cute. They put a fucking silver dress on this dog. Oh, congrats. This is how you do a crashed viewing party. All these people, by the way, know that they're coming. So the surprise that they're feigning is fake. Mm-hmm. So they did this knowing Toko was getting on the air.
I want to see a real surprise viewing party.
Where would that be?
That's when people shit their pants. I remember we used to think about like what we would do if they like crashed our viewing party back when we were doing like ritualistic.
Yeah, when we were mimicking satanic rituals to begin every game. Now I just do them alone. But yes, I agree. I think everybody who has a viewing party is thinking that during these. Like, what would their reaction be if they walked into us doing the crazy shit we do?
But I feel like a lot of viewing parties, people would freak.
That's true.
Like, I remember there was a lady who loved Ben Higgins. And when she met him at, when they did that big thing, she couldn't speak. It was a beautiful moment.
Well, we also get to see a guy at this place that says Bachelor's his show. And he's the one who got his girlfriend to watch it, drug her into the pit. And he says he has a man crush on Zach. Zach then swings a stick at a pinata and they hit another viewing party where he does the limbo and feeds DLP some food with his bare hands. Everyone is screaming. We see a teacher watch party, has a bunch of signs and props, champagne wall. DLP's doing jello shots. They throw a bunch of rose petals and Zach ITMs that Bachelor Nation is diehard, ride or die. It's a really good job, I thought, of pumping up the show at the very beginning here. It's propaganda, but it's propaganda I love. I absolutely love it.
That I love. This was my opposite wowie of the week.
Me too.
I was like, whoa.
Me too. Just right off the top, they put that fucking heartstring in there. Like,
respect for the game.
Yes, yes. It's respect for the game.
It's respect the game. Yes, it respects the hell out of the game. It's paying homage to seasons past. It's paying homage to the fans. As a fan podcast, I love this.
Me too. I mean, this is what I want to see. And you don't get enough of it because they haven't done this crashing thing. Did they do it? They didn't do it during Rekia and...
Well, I think you couldn't do it as much during COVID.
No, exactly.
But they haven't done it in a long time, I think.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a minute. I don't know if I'm accurate in that, but it does feel like it's been a minute. And it is like just good to see people liking the show for me, personally. Someone on screen having fun. That's basically what I'm looking for at this point. Anyone on the screen that looks happy. Yeah. Portia 2 begins. We're back in the studio. DLP introduces us to the players for tonight's big game. We got Olivia, Night one player. We got Victoria J. Week two player. We got Kat. I think a week three player.
One of the hair dye plays. I loved that. And Kat does her signature face play here.
Yep. And then we see Madison is there, who got drunk on night one, we believe. Anastasia, Genevieve, Mercedes, Kylie Greer, Allie, Christina Mandrell, her name, both names on screen again, Catherine, Jess, Brooklyn, and Charity. DLP throws Charity first. What's it like when you get out of the limo? This is the first question they ask every time. Yes?
I'm going to call this a DLPP, a Dark Lord Palmer's preference.
Okay.
This is the first person the Dark Lord anoints to open the Women Tell All, generally with a description of how they first met the Bachelor.
I love it. Immediate adoption. This is the DLPP goes to Charity. And it's always some variation. The DLPP is always some variation of this question. What is it like when you get out of the limo or when you first see the Bachelor or night one? It's something like along these lines. Yes. And that's basically what they're looking for. It was overwhelming. I got nervous. The Bachelor is hot. She delivers as requested because we know she is the Bachelorette. They have told her exactly what this question will be and exactly how to answer it. She does so. She describes it as surreal. Kat says it's terrifying. Everyone's gorgeous and you can't help but compare yourself to everyone else. DLP then says, it's no surprise that when you get a guy like Zach and a bunch of beautiful women, there's going to be some fireworks. And we get the what is now called the drama reel. But in prior seasons, this was always referred to as the claws will come out and cat fights.
Brooklyn said it.
Did she really?
Brooklyn is really the hammer of the producers. This in this Women Tell All comes through. She literally says the claws are going to come out.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we get reminded of Madison's flame out on night one with the awkward kiss. We get an interesting head in a box when Brooklyn has to watch herself saying, don't be that girl. This is open gameplay speech. And we get a bunch of these shots of Brooklyn having to watch herself back saying mean shit to people. We see Kat pulling Zach before his Charity one-on-one. We see Brooklyn stirring shit up and calling Kat. This is Catherine Kat. So I'm just going to go Catherine and Kat. Kat from now on will be the faceplate Kat. Okay. Catherine is Catherine.
I'm not.
We see Brooklyn stirring shit up and calling Catherine tacky. We see the Kylie Anastasia rivalry. We see Kylie's tattle about Anastasia's supposed fixation on Instagram followers. And then we get a big Christina Mandrell part of the reel back into the studio. DLP then throws to Brooklyn. You had some choice words. What was it about Christina that was rubbing you the wrong way? And this is the first big fight. This is usually what happens immediately after we get the DLPP. You get a couple of fights. They have to resolve all of the dramas or at least get people screaming about it.
Yeah, Brooklyn, you don't mince words. What about Christina Mandrell do you hate?
Yeah, exactly. This is your real chance. Air it out.
And she really begins her reign of silence through this Women Tell All. She's responding just via face play rather than actual words that could get her in trouble. And I respect that.
Maybe, or maybe they cut it out. I don't know. But Brooklyn just lays in. Her words and actions were calculated and manipulative. She was trying to intimidate the other players. She stole Charity's moment. Olivia's a night one player. Comes from the fucking cheap seats off the top rope. Whoa, shit, where'd she come from?
Yeah.
And she goes, this just a fucking immediate hot take on Christina. She's so bold. She feels like that. And she's going to say what everyone else is thinking. Then everybody turns around and is like, sorry, who the fuck are you? Catherine literally says, you went home night one. This is how you establish a hierarchy, essentially saying anything a night one girl has to say is invalidated by the simple fact that you're bad at the game.
If you're in the back row, STFU.
And now Olivia has something prepared for this attack. This is an obvious attack, low-hanging fruit. She knows this will come. She knows it. If she gets into a fight.
I love this for Olivia.
I did too. This is a small ballet here. Olivia is, at least in this moment, a high-level player. She's thought about this and is prepared. She says, yes, I did go home night one. Can't refute that. That's a fact. We all saw it. And Zach actually got to know you. You stayed in the game longer. He knows who the fuck you are. And then he sent you home. So what does that say about you, motherfucker? At least I have an excuse is what she's saying. This is fucking beautiful. I wrote big shots here. Love to see this. So far, Olivia is winning this fight. Then the comment lands so hard, we even get an outstanding face play. Coming from Kat, that's C-A-T, not K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, and this Kat face play. with full eye and mouth aperture in shock at the shot fired from Olivia was my
face play of the game.
And Kat was doing them all night long. I give it to this one because it was the first cutaway, but they use Kat's face play to punctuate every fucking sentence said. It's unreal. They are cutting to her face reaction all night long. That's the power of face play. She got so much screen time from her face play only. Like, she's going to paradise, in my opinion. And she did it through face play only.
100%.
She did a little dirty work later. That's just to show them I'll play ball. But this face play is what they already know how they're going to cut her in paradise. She's like, you can use me as the fucking visual punchline to any joke you have in paradise. My face reactions are going to be all you need.
This was almost my face play. I thought it was my face play at this point. Something happened later that astounded me, so I had to change it. But I love how Kat was just putting in work all night. Like,
yeah,
the dirty work, the face play, etc. She was like, put me on sand. And she will be on sand. We have other Kat saying Christina Mandrell sucked up the energy in any room. I'm not shitting on who she is. And then saying, were you there when Madison is trying to pipe in? I think Mandrell should immediately start making some energy sucking TikToks where she's sucking some shit up into a vortex.
And there was something too that happened. If she does that, I will lose my fucking mind. Right before this, though, we got this shot of DLP sitting smugly on his dark throne, delighting in the infighting. He's literally, they're all fucking yelling at each other. He's sitting there with his legs crossed, hands over one knee, just kind of smiling to himself. He fucking loves it. He loves the torment. This is a dark fucking lord.
Are you saying I'm dark because I love women tall?
No, I'm saying he's a dark lord because he's instigating it. He's in control of it. He's playing it like an orchestra. We're watching it. We're fans.
I don't think he feels he's in control.
Did you see that shot?
I think he's like, oh, it's gotten out of control.
I've never seen a smugness like this represented so clearly on a human being's face. The man is full darkness. He's become full demon, you see. There's no... You can no longer deny it after tonight. I'm sorry. I know that you like to say he's an empathetic king and shit, but after tonight, the man is...
Did you see him deliver the news to charity? A heartwarming moment to heal America.
Okay. We have to move on. I don't know what else I can say if you still believe this after tonight. Okay. Then we see Kat says...
I feel like you've said this kind of thing to me before.
I know, and it never lands somehow. I think I'm watching the same show you are, but I don't know. Maybe it's a different show. Maybe they deliver you a different copy of the tape.
I think they do.
Yeah.
My copy includes the baking show. I haven't watched the baking show, but I've seen clips and they're so wholesome.
It is. I mean, he's very wholesome in other shit. There's no doubt about it. But
Genevieve gets in here saying you don't need to take away from charity to feel validated. We see Christina Mandrell says being told I'm making people uncomfortable. I could have shut the fuck up. My mind wanted to do more to make sure I understand people's intentions, but thanks for letting me know. Be better in the future. And she clocks out. At this point, she is Heather Martin.
It's unreal. That was it. That was basically the only play we get from Mandrell the whole time. They didn't give her a hot seat, which I thought they were going to do. And if they did, they cut it. They might have and cut it. I don't know.
Here's the thing. You want to make, I think that's part of why they didn't, is you want charity to stand out as the sole obvious choice for Bachelorette. You don't want anyone to shine
all attention
and be
on
like
her.
Justice for Mandrell or start trending or something.
You know, they might have shot it, though. We have learned through other podcasts and stuff that they shot a bunch of hot seats at the last Woman Tell All that just got cut out. Like Sally Carson had one. Anyway, we don't know.
Because Mandrell is an amazing choice for Bachelorette. And I think that would have shown if they gave her a hot seat and she got to talk about her kid and whatever she wanted.
Right. They had to silence her. Well, whatever the case, this was it. I loved Christina Mandrell. I thought she did some amazing shit early in this season. Mm-hmm. And this is the last we're going to see of her unless she winds up on Paradise. Did she do enough to get in? She
better be on Paradise.
I don't know. We will see. But then DLP throws to Anastasia about the 4TWR accusations regarding social media. And we get another fantastic face play from Kat here. She's just delivering them every 5 to 10 seconds. You're just seeing Kat like with the most insane face play you've ever seen. Anastasia says she was shocked.
The aperture was incredible.
Aperture always 100%. Eyes and mouth.
You know how some people are only burning a certain amount of calories when they're sitting? I bet she burns more calories just from opening her eyelids so wide.
It's incredible. Like she's that. Like the Ja Morant of face play.
Is that from the 1900s?
Ja Morant is currently, in this year, 2023, one of the greatest NBA basketball players playing, and his flourishes and stuff are insane. He can do, like, crazy slam dunks and weird plays, and, like, he's kind of Michael Jordan-esque. Do you know that name? He's from the last century.
Yes, I know who Michael Jordan is. Clues.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as good as Michael Jordan, I don't think, but he has a similar quality of, like, when he does a slam dunk, you're going to watch because it's so insane. I'm just saying, he's a very good athlete in another sport. She's a very good athlete in this sport, in the face place. Oh my God. So Anastasia is like, I was shocked in this conversation with Zach, where he's bringing up all the shit people are talking about. She maintained she was asking questions about social media, being transparent with the other players. Here we see Victoria Jameson jumping in. She doesn't think it's about social media. She maintains they have mutual friends who told her that she was only going on the show as a business opportunity, and she has the receipts. And before anyone can say anything, Kat then jumps in with, also, you had a boyfriend on the show.
Why don't we see these receipts?
We never see the receipts.
Here's the thing. Why are they including this 4TWR accusation and saying there's receipts and not producing any receipts? This is bad at job. The housewives, they'd have those receipts printed on a big fucking poster board. Bring them in.
Yes, I agree. If the receipts are mentioned, we need to see the receipts. But also, like, this accusation that you had a boyfriend on the show is something we've never heard. I've never even seen that in online anywhere, I don't think. If I have, it's been, like, you know, unsubstantiated. So now we're on this whole thing where we're going to attack Anastasia for a little while. For potentially something that isn't even real. They then cut to DLP, who does his best to act surprised by this. Anastasia denies it. Genevieve jumps in as her roommate and defends her. DLP tries to maintain order, has to take a break, and he goes to commercial as Kat rolls her eyes. It's a more gorgeous face play. They literally are leaving this segment on her face play. Portion 3, back in the studio.
I wrote, Kat is playing her tail off.
Nice. Nice.
Thanks.
Portion 3 starts. DLP reminds us that Kat has made this explosive accusation, which she must then make again. Anastasia has a boyfriend. When she came into the show, Anastasia says, that means I was what? Sleeping around? And then she goes, somebody said I was fucking someone. And then she says, no offense, but all of us have.
Someone did say that.
But was it like...
Kat said, boyfriend, guy you were fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have the receipts.
And then Anastasia says, no offense, but all of us have basically had sex before we came into the show. Then she says she didn't have a boyfriend. Flat denial of this accusation.
I liked that public sex declaration.
And then Kat comes in with this thing about who was watching your dog then. Who was that guy? Anastasia says her mom was watching her dog. Kat presses her, accusing her of lying. And like, I don't know if this is cut weird. It's so confusing. I don't even know what the allegations are and what is about this guy with a dog. And it's just so meandering and like hard to follow.
She has a boyfriend. They're saying the boyfriend was taking care of the dog, but there's also someone who was at a wedding. But Victoria Jameson comes in here and says, you came to the show for the business opportunity. Yeah, keep lying. Maybe you'll hit 50K you wanted so bad. We get another Instagram 4TWR accusation. A DLP says, you know, that would speak to not being there for TRR. Do the women owe you an apology? And Anastasia says, I'm not craving that. I don't appreciate being lied about. And then Kylie gets in here. We were roommates. I'm not aggressive. I was there for the right reasons, not like you. And then Genevieve defines what microaggressions are and says that Black women are dealing with this stereotype of being aggressive and microaggressions against historically marginalized groups. And, you know, you propelled that stereotype against Kylie. Anastasia raises a finger up in the air to have DLP call on her.
That was an important moment, by the way. I thought Genevieve discussing the microaggressions. I thought that that was something you don't ever really see on the show generally in anything.
That's what I'm saying. I liked all of this stuff.
No, I did too. I mean, we'll get to it. There's obviously a bigger moment with Greer, but
just addressing racism when it comes up as opposed to not, and then having DLP apologize for the franchise.
I know. We'll get to that too. But I mean, just remember, Bachelorette 19, you had a ring winner. A picture of him surfaced in blackface from when he was in high school, and they ignored it. They literally did not address it at all at that season's After the Final Rose. And that was just one season ago. That was season 19. So it does appear at least that there is some attempt here being made to make progress. But then Anastasia raises her hand to speak as this is going on.
Also, a lot of people who are watching this have probably never even heard of what a microaggression is.
Yeah.
So it's the first time that's being explained.
I agree.
We see Kylie say, we talked about it. You never said you were sorry. It was more like, oh God, people will think things of me. What will it do to my life? I hope you become a better human. And we see these three white women in the audience nodding. The audience reactions in this episode were a thing in themselves.
I agree.
We see DLP bring up other cats steal before Charity's date. And are you surprised by that reaction? And Charity says it was a lot. Cat apologized. It just wasn't appropriate timing. It circles back to the Christina Mandrell moment. Again, I'm like, certain people when they don't get something, they're allowed to cry at certain times in the show and certain times not. There's no rhyme or reason to it at this point.
It's only for the narratives. It's for whoever they want to promote or not, whoever they need to victimize properly and villainize properly to make whatever their ultimate narrative is going to be is working. I agree. The inconsistency in how they apply the rules to players it's part of what makes some of these mid-season like fights hard to watch. It's like, well, A, what is this fight even about? And B, like, why is this person in the wrong now? I don't understand. They don't seem to have done much, but the producers will get somebody to be a hatchet man.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, once again, comes in on Kat here. Catherine, sorry.
Yeah.
And they kind of get back in the same fight that they already had, that we saw them have during the course of the season. And it really makes me wonder if Brooklyn is maybe, like, hardcore third audience player.
Paid. Yeah.
I don't know if necessarily paid, but like even in the course of the season shooting, like when she came after Catherine as hard as she did, the producers might have been like, here's the deal. He's not going to pick you to go all the way. We need you to attack her and you'll be first sand round. I could see them doing something like that.
I absolutely see this happening. Even when we were watching the drama reel, they kept cutting to her like she's the arbiter of all things good and moral. And like her ITMs are the final word on whoever they're talking about.
Yeah.
We see they're talking about, oh God, the group date rose, snatch, COVID, Charity, classless, fits a narrative. Brooklyn says her shoe fits. If the shoe fits, lace it up. Three times she says this catchphrase. No catchphrase accusations against Brooklyn.
She has a shoe company, a shoelace company. What we do see here essentially is there's no resolution of this fight. They just keep fighting, and DLP tries to gain control again. And he says, well, if there's anything unresolved, there's always next summer on the beaches of paradise. He literally is turning into that demon. He doesn't give a fuck about them repairing this relationship. He, in fact, wants them to continue fighting on to paradise. He says it explicitly. How is this an empathetic king?
He knows they're not really fighting.
Okay. I mean... okay. So he then teases this hot seat with Jess and we get a casting card.
He's trying to lighten the moment.
Uh-huh. He definitely did try to lighten some moments. We get this casting card that says one of these women on stage tonight, maybe the next Bachelorette. If you want to date her, go to ABC Casting. Portion 4. This is at least prestige again. He's not shitting on the people watching the show.
I know. There's no backstory about people fucking people down in vans or at the comic book store or anything. We get this hot seat that I was not particularly waiting for, Jess.
No one was.
It's a heartbreak hot seat. We get a heartbreak reel. She produces tears nicely. DLP sees emotions on her face.
The Women Tell All tear play was perfect. It was a perfect game.
Out of control.
Everybody cried while they were going through their watch back. Literally every person on a hot seat. Absolutely fantastic.
It was hard for me to pick my MVP because there was so much like 4TRR play.
Yeah.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers. They're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I agree.
Jess is proud. She just wanted a date. DLP gives her a tissue. That's empathetic. He's a wet face. Might want to clean that up.
Sure.
I'd love a tissue if I was in emotional pain, that kind of thing.
I'll keep that in mind.
I wasn't saying that to you. I'm just saying the person would love. He's thinking that because that's empathy.
Yep.
He should speak French some more. We see DLP says it's a totally new side to Jess. Okay.
This hot seat was very boring. I mean, it was very just kind of like down the road. She needed more time, wanted to see the feelings from him that she saw in the watch back.
Okay, here's where it's not down the road.
All right.
DLP says you lit up every room you're in, figuratively and literally, the body glitter. And Jess says the glitter gave me more confidence. Never let anyone dull your sparkle. A Tierra Lee Cowsey reference in Goldini's season.
My line says this was literally said by Tierra Lee Cowsey. Yes.
I did think, however, that Jess not wearing glitter tonight was a missed opportunity. And this was my...
Error of the game.
She could have worn it.
Yeah.
First of all, if they don't let her wear it, you come in with glitter in your pocket. Zach Stone is going to be famous. You throw the glitter in the air, let it attach to you. Beautiful moment. Can't clean it up. It's impossible.
Yeah. I think you're right. I wonder if they would let you take glitter. Probably not. But...
No, they wouldn't. You'd have to hide it.
Yeah.
Cleavage.
Oh.
Or somewhere else.
Okay. Experimental strategy, to be sure.
I guess you didn't have the same error.
No, I did not. We'll get to mine a little bit later. But we start portion five, and portion five is the Greer Blitzer hot seat. And DLP basically says, you got the FIMP, but not the final rose. And they have to do the watch back. She cries. She basically says she understands that things couldn't pick up where they left off. They had just lost too much time because of each of them getting COVID. And DLP then shifts gears to talk about something else. Her blackface apologist posts are brought up directly. And DLP openly says, we've done a poor job in the past of addressing serious topics head on, and we're not going to miss that opportunity here tonight. So he's apologizing essentially for the franchise here.
I literally recorded this when it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy to hear. Certainly not something that I thought the show would ever do. Again, this is in keeping with that, like, they're trying to take steps in the right direction here.
Exactly. We've never seen this before.
Never seen it before. So this is an open admission, although...
The show apologizing.
A poor one. They do say, we've done a poor job in the past of addressing serious topics head on, and we're not going to miss that opportunity here tonight.
Important topics. They don't name it.
Serious topics. They don't say, we have employed racist casting practices since the beginning of this show, and we're trying to correct our ways. They don't say that. They say, we've could have addressed some serious issues a little bit better. We do a pretty good job, but we could be a little better about the serious stuff. So we're going to try and do that right now.
Look, I am totally impressed with what happened this episode. And I think the bar is low.
Yeah.
But I was still impressed.
I was too. And they go right in. DLP mentions the apology she issued, gives her the opportunity to address it. She says she's nervous, but she does want to address it. She says she failed to mention in her apology that what happened was racist, says the word. It's not about the intent. It's about the impact. And the acquaintance she knew who did blackface was racist. Her defense of it was racist and her ignorance was racist. She says all these things. And she is shamed and deeply sorry for hurting the black community. She can't go back in time and she's trying to be better now and do better in the future. Then DLP says, I know you sat down with Dr. Kira Banks, a professor and noted diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant. We then cut to Dr. Kira Banks in the audience. She's there in the front row with her own chyron that reads, Dr. Kira Banks, co-founder, Institute for Healing, Justice, and Equity. And DLP asks her...
How many followers?
I did not look her up. Do you want me to see right now?
Yeah.
I'm on Charity Lawson Watch.
What is Charity at?
I just went to Kira Banks. Hang on.
Well, okay, tell me both of...
I think this is her. Yeah, Dr. Kira Banks has 8,434 followers.
Nice.
Not too bad. Charity, by the way, she started this night with 28.4K. She is now up to 35.1K. That is your future bachelorette. I'm going to keep an eye on that, and we'll tell you what it is at the end of the show as well. So we then cut to Keira Banks, who has 8,000 Instagram followers. She's sitting out in the audience, and DLP asked her what her takeaways were, asked Greer what her takeaways were from meeting with Dr. Banks, and Greer Blitzer says that Dr. Banks brought to her attention to be open-minded and ask before you do without thinking. Do your research. She looked up lectures on blackface to understand it more. She realized it was symbolic of dehumanizing the black community, and defending the girl was racist. She doesn't want to excuse her behaviors. And then DLP also says he visited with Dr. Banks to get more understanding himself, then throws out to Banks. Banks thanks him for having her because it's important to name and give voice to these racist issues. She gives props to Genevieve for the microaggression conversation, then says we can't nice our way out of racism. What actions are we going to take? And she says the history is important. We have to be willing to do something different. DLP thanks them both, and we cut to commercial. A very interesting segment. This is a lot of screen time given to talking about these things. Just something you really never have seen before in the show. From time to time in a tell-all or an after the final rose setting.
I mean, we've got only the, you know, fired DLH episode.
Well, they had an after the final rose that had Rachel Lindsay in it where she came out and talked to bullying in season 24. Do you remember this? Or was that a Women Tell All?
Yeah.
She came out and they basically, a bunch of players.
I think it was Women Tell All.
I think it was as well. So they tried to do it there a little bit, but they never said racism. It was about bullying. And they asked basically the fourth audience to stop being so mean. They took no show responsibility. This took show responsibility. And it also said, like, DLH said he talks to Dr. Banks. So it was like, look, he's the show. The show is also talking to Dr. Banks, you know? Like, at least symbolically, they were trying to do something here.
And we had Acho hosting the after the final rose.
Yeah.
So they've, you know, they've tried various different ways of approaching this.
In Rachel Lindsay's season, they did something like this.
I think you approach them when it's the big scandal. Your ring winner does blackface. You approach it at the after the final rose.
I agree.
Like, ignoring it is an action.
Oh, for sure. It was a decision that was made. There were conversations that were had about that, and they chose to not bring Eric or not ask Eric Schwer about his blackface photo in high school. So here they're not doing the same thing. They seemingly have learned that you must address these things. And it seems like they're making an honest attempt here, a good faith attempt at like making the situation better.
I hope so.
Me too. Portion six begins. The next woman seemed like the perfect match for Zach. Catherine gets the next hot seat. And we see, once again, DLP says, I thought you were going to wind up with him. And we get the watch back. She produces tears. She says it's like remembering how happy she was, and that's making her emotional. And we get this kind of standard hot seat where they're talking about how heart-wrenching it was.
Standard?
All right.
This Julia Roberts-esque player... Mm-hmm. Starts with tears. She's producing those tears, looking back at the heartbreak reel. She gets emotional, remembering how happy she was. She shared her deepest fears with Zach. It made her not feel good enough again. And DLP brings up her mom. And Kat says, if you want authentic love, you open up. She's proud of her resilience. And it impacted her family more than I thought it would. I have a mother-daughter relationship with my mom now because of it. And this reveal of Kat's PTC family healing through the process was my
play of the game.
This, you know, Kat kind of got a bit of a villain edit for her steal. I mean, people are getting villain edits for nothing these days. And this taking back of the narrative a little bit, playing a hidden PTC ball that also praises the process. It reminded me of Corinne Olympios's Women Tell All PTC play when she revealed that the nanny was due to her mom's cancer and helping out with the family. Just, you know, reminding people that she's a human being and also praising the process. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, good play, definitely. I had my play and my error will surprise you perhaps, but also entertain you, hopefully. Portion 7 begins.
Okay.
Charity gets the next hot seat. And this hot seat is scripted 100%. It is all in promotion of her as the Bachelorette, and she plays it perfectly, mm-hmm. proving, I think, that she's actually going to be a fantastic Bachelorette. From what I saw her do tonight on this hot seat and in the scene after where she's acting with DLP, like, she's good at this. She's real fucking good.
She's incredible. You know, they haven't shown us that much of her, but what they have shown us of her has been amazing. Does she have a pageant background?
Let me see. Auburn University alumna times 2. I don't know. Not readily available in her thing. She might, though.
She produces tears right at during her own breakup in the heartbreak reel. But she also has an offhand comment. Oh, I can't cry. I'm in a white dress. Like, you know, you might be announced at this, right? She knows she's in contention at this point.
At the very least.
They've probably given the contract to multiple people.
Yeah, maybe. But she has had a contract put in front of her.
Yeah.
And has probably signed it at this point. Like, she definitely knows that there's a strong likelihood. At the very least, if not outright, no. We don't know what levels she actually knows. But she basically goes into this thing about how she really was falling in love with him, and she can't remember the last time she loved level 3'd somebody. DLP asked her, what was it about Zach that made her trust him? And she kind of flounders for a minute here because she's like, fuck, why do I have to keep thinking about this douchebag? Like, bigger, better things are coming my way, which she fucking alludes to at some point in this. But she goes, he's a stand-up guy, so genuine, made me feel safe and comforted, produces tears. He validated her, and that's what she needed after coming out of her last relationship. He saw her for her. That's why she loved level 3'd him.
Blindsided.
And she was blindsided.
Victimization edit.
And that DLP says, you played a perfect first round of playoffs. He doesn't say that specifically, but he basically says your hometown went as well as it could have gone.
I'm like, whoa, I spaced out that
part. Yeah. She says, what was your family's response? And she says, they asked her if she was heartbroken. She says, yes, she was. But they also trusted the fact that she was really leaning into the experience. And they know she learned a lesson, which is that she can love again. And they know good things are in store. She says, good things are in store. I'm sorry. That's a person who knows they're the Bachelorette.
I do feel like she was spoiling it a little bit with that remark.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, can I tell you a sad moment I had right at this portion break?
Yeah.
DLP says, I give you a lot of credit. You navigated a lot through all the COVID. And she's like, and I was face down in Zach's cheeks. And he thanks her for always being an open book. And there's truly shocking moments that didn't make the show. And I had this thought that maybe the book would be in the blooper reel. Surely. Book watch would end here.
My belief that they would ever show the book in the show is now at its lowest that it's ever been. I'm in negative belief somehow. Maybe it'll come back around to positive. But so then we get this in portion 8. This is kind of a blooper reel, but not exactly. It's not the blooper reel. It's like 3 different things.
They've done this before where they have like short little blooper like scenes. Which I like, because if there is a whole scene, I mean, these scenes are amazing.
These scenes should have been in the show. Bad at job.
What the hell?
You need to have these scenes in the show, because these scenes...
Obviously bad at job, but yes.
They show you some personality of the players. What we have now is not... I don't know almost any of these players, anything really about them, like in terms of what they're like personality-wise, because they remove it all out in the edit. You see this shit, you immediately are like, oh my God, they're all fucking hilarious.
Could I see Mercedes giving a twerk lesson?
It's unreal.
No idea.
So this first clip that we get is this twerking competition and twerking lesson. Absolutely brilliant. Everybody in it is hilarious and fucking amazing television.
It's so good. It shows all of the different women's personalities so much. And I can see them shooting it and being like, this is going to be amazing, the blooper reel. Guess what? Put it in the main game.
Yes.
Put it in the main game.
I couldn't agree more.
We saw a practical orgy on Perfect Match. Bachelor needs to step up.
I 100% agree.
I'm talking about a pool scene, and y'all should watch it.
Yeah, the Perfect Match pool scene is unparalleled. There's nothing like it in The Bachelor. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Just watch that. It's in episode 8. No, 10.
Start at 1.
Anyway, DLP. DLP then says, the word on the street is Zach is a good kisser, and that added pressure for Wonder Woman in particular. And we get this interesting scene between Allie and Anastasia practicing kissing on an orange that has little eyes on it. So is she a kiss virgin that we, and we never saw that? What's going on here?
That is what I'm assuming from this. Again, why would this be cut from the show? Also, this, did you see Cruel Intentions?
Yep.
This very much had that vibe where she's like teaching the girl how to kiss.
You saw Cruel Intentions? That's from the last century.
I've seen a couple of things from the 1900s.
Oh, you can't shit on it and enjoy it simultaneously. 1900s has some good shit. It had some good shit. Pretty Woman. The very thing you were just referencing. Julia Roberts. She's from the 1900s.
I don't think I like that movie, to be honest, but.
All right. Well.
Pretty Woman?
The highest grossing romantic comedy of all time, bar none.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
That's sad. We need to beat that.
DLP then says that he gets asked why the women don't slap each other in the face with tortillas. We see a tortilla slapping competition in the house.
Again.
Hilarious. Unreal. You see their personalities.
They put water in their mouth and they slap each other with the tortillas. Why would you not put this to the show? And then I was like, oh, it's because Christian Mandrell's hanging out with all the girls and they're all friends.
Yeah, exactly. It ruins any of their drama storylines that are 100% fake. So DLP then says, when they're not on the dates, they get to know each other really well sometimes, sometimes too well. And we get
mansion free play antics.
Some more of the conversation about farting that we saw in one of the tags, but we get a little more specific. They discuss taking shits in front of the people that they're dating, and Greer Blitzer acknowledges by raising her hand that indeed she does this. This was my
play of the game.
It was also my
error of the game.
What?
Now I know what you're thinking. What is he talking about?
Edgelord.
Yeah, well, I am an edgelord. You know this. So I have to uphold my title, my lordship. But
okay.
It was for me the play of the game because it is what I will remember most about this. That Greer Blitzer admitted she takes shits in front of people. Whether you're dating someone or not, I believe taking a shit in front of someone is a bold act, I'll say.
She said if they're showering.
What? So somebody's just taking a shower and then all of a sudden somebody's shitting in the room next to him? That's even more terrifying. You don't tell them about it. It's like a surprise shit next to them while they're showering. They should have had Greer Blitzer taking a shit next to Zach Shawcrank while he was scrubbing down his abs.
I think we need to take the shame out of shitting clues.
I'm not saying have any shame about it. I'm saying just, you know, have a little courtesy to not shit 1 foot from a person. That's all. While they're bathing. At any rate, it was my play of the game because it's...
I mean... Most people are in an enclosed shower. They're not in a bathtub. So I understand maybe you don't want to have someone shitting next to you.
Oh.
If you're in a bathtub.
Yeah, I don't take showers. You're right. I definitely don't want to have somebody shitting while I'm in the tub.
You don't even know what it's like.
But nonetheless, this play was my play of the game because it's the most memorable play. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And two, it's my error of the game because you shouldn't admit this on national television, in my opinion.
I think... It's 2023. Women take shits.
Sound off in the comments if you like to take shits. I'm not saying anything about women taking shits. I'm just saying with somebody in the room with you, whether you're in a, like, I wouldn't do this to a guy friend.
No, I'm sure this is something that people argue about.
Yeah.
What do you think the percentage is?
Of people who like having other people shit while they're taking a shower?
Not like, it's not like a kink.
It's just something people do from time to time.
Look, I'm not saying I do this. I don't see what's wrong with this.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Nothing's wrong with it, per se. It's a matter of personal preference, obviously. I'm just saying I think the overwhelming preference in the human population is to not have someone shitting 1 foot from you while you're in the shower. it's my opinion.
Okay. I think she said, I'm not even sure that that's what she said. She said, I use the bathroom while we're in the shower. That sounds like that could be pee.
No, but then she holds up her fingers, number two, and then they're all talking about taking shits while somebody's taking a shower. That's this whole scene.
I didn't see the fingers.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. I think we've covered this scene.
I don't know if we've covered this enough. They then talk about lying about the bathroom line being long, which is a very relatable moment. I understand that.
I love this. It's going to be like a fucking 2-hour podcast because we spent an hour on talking about them taking shits.
Anyway, DLP says, I have to ask Zach about sex week. Portion 7 begins. Zach in the hot seat. He says it's still terrifying.
I think this is portion 9. Oh my God.
Are you serious?
I that's what I have. I don't know. I'm just like, Jesus, portion 7.
Oh no, I think you're right. I only have 9 portions written. Okay, well, I definitely...
Well, whatever it is, it doesn't fucking matter. Minutia alarm on myself.
This portion starts with hot seat 5. Current bachelor, Zach Shank... Cross. Shawshank
Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption. DOP tells him he has a calming presence, stoic. And Zach says he's panicking. DLP says, people found out that you make decisions, care about women and time. How do you make these tough decisions? Zach says, I want to be intentional. Sometimes it's not so apparent, the choice, but I just know I got to do what I can. Go to bed at again, he brings up this sleeping at peace with those. I'm like,
yes.
Zach is into peaceful sleep. He does not like a guilty conscience.
Exactly. And that right there, what he's revealing is, this is how I rationalize this terrible shit you're making me do to these people. Oh, this is how I rationalize leading them on, basically. Is like, well, I just go off my gut instinct and that's what I've told myself I have to do, basically, to be able to live with myself doing this horrible thing to people. So anyway, who do I have to talk to now? And then DLP throws it out to Catherine. What does she want to say to him? And she says, the watch back has been hard. Put herself back in that place. See it end abruptly again. She asks if there was a tangible time, something she said or did that was a shift in the relationship. And Zach says, we both know They had a fast, intense connection. It never faltered. But it was getting to the final moments of the regular season. There wasn't a specific moment that made him look at her differently. He just had to make a decision. Trust that gut. And DLP says,
Kat should have dove on stage for this part, I thought.
At least come up to take your hot seat. We've seen other players do that. Who just did that recently? Somebody like came to sit down. It's like, can I come up there and sit with you? Definitely when you get one of these things, when The Bachelor comes out and it gets thrown to you to ask him a question, go up and stand on stage with him. Sit on his couch.
The time where Zach is on the hot seat is limited. And so if you do it, it might be more likely to make the edit.
For sure. But he gives her a non-answer here, and she accepts the non-answer. DLP then says, hearts broke when you said goodbye. Says this to Charity. This is Bachelorette speak, in my opinion. Charity asks him what was his turning point with her. Zach says, after meeting the four families, he had the biggest pit in his stomach because he didn't know what to do. That was one of the hardest things. There was no process or way to go about it. He has to make this decision. He didn't feel that good day. He didn't feel good that day, but he thinks the world of her. Another non-answer, which she accepts. Mm-hmm. Finally, thank you. This is closure. She has to, obviously, for the Bachelorette narrative.
Yeah.
DLP then goes to Jess. A similar kind of, she says, you know, I was shocked in the watch back.
Charity's weirdly like, whoa, perfect closure.
Yeah. I mean, she already had the closure. She had it when she was leaving the fucking show. In her limo exit, she already was over it. She was like, well, this just means I'm one step closer to finding my person. She said that as she was leaving. I think she might have known a little ahead of time about this Bachelorette crown. Anyway, DLP then goes to Jess. This is
a conspiracy time.
Either that or she's like a fantastic player. Maybe it's reader behavior.
Mm.
Could be.
She's definitely a reader, I like to think.
But DLP then goes to Jess, and he issues a similar kind of like, I didn't expect that night to go that way. I liked you, and I couldn't properly convey that. So sorry. He doesn't know why the emotions came out in that moment, but not while they were talking. He was just frustrated. Jess then says she has a question. Was it the sparkles? Big laughs from the audience. Producer fed line here. And then we begin portion 10.
Was it the sparkles?
DLP asks what the most surprising thing has been during the watch back for Zach. And he says the amount of shower scenes and the amount of time he says the words like and hello, hello. And okay. That was what surprised him the most.
It's the answer he gave in another interview already. Can't believe how many shower scenes there are. He's literally like, give me the few chunks I have to memorize to do this media train, and otherwise I'm out. We see Mercedes do this little play where she goes, oh, we broke up over video chat. We should do a proper goodbye group hug with Kylie. And DLP says, we've been through the emotional ringer. Let's get a pick-me-up. It's blooper time, people. Let's go. Ultimate Viking style.
And then we get this blooper reel. We get Zach sweating is the first half of the reel. Just grotesque shots of your bachelor. Oh, yeah, this is the guy that you want to watch go into sex week. Look how grotesque he is. And then we see the...
Yeah, picture how much he's sweating all over these women.
It's just so dumb. It doesn't respect the game.
No. It's trying to win the battle when you're losing the war. That's what I call it.
Totally. It's like that short-sighted, like, this'll get a laugh. Let's take him down a notch. You don't ever want to take your bachelor down a notch. You want him to be on the highest fucking pedestal you can build. Same thing with Bachelorette. Don't do this. Bad at job. Then we get the butler on the Pretty Woman date, fucks up Shawcrank's name, and I thought he was going to be my Jorge Moreno again. I was like, this guy could do it again. He's fucking getting more screen time, but no. We see Charity falling down some stairs, so they're taking their bachelorette down a peg here, and then we see...
I fell down those stairs.
I remember. I was there. Then we see Bugs, as we always see in the blooper reel. Mercedes does a...
So did Tierra Lee Cowsey.
Yes, that was a fascinating piece of that blooper reel with that bug. God damn it. But bugs are in everything. I'm not going to say that's a Goldini reference. They always have bugs in blooper reels. Always.
Wait, I'm talking about falling down the stairs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bug that landed on her. But yes, Tierra Lee Cowsey did as well. But we see Mercedes doing a farmer's blow to get this bug out of her nose. She describes what that is. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I love to learn.
We see some hiccups. We see a tarantula scaring the shit out of Katie. And then we see a person dressed in some kind of giant mask. I don't know if this is a demon mask. I don't know what's going on here, but this person is chasing after all the players and scaring the living shit out of them. And this demon hunting the players was my
Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
All I want to know is what the fuck is happening here? What was that? Was that a group date? Was that them just walking? What is that? I need a three-part docuseries immediately about what was going on here.
I think it was a street performer, a clown, perhaps.
Whatever it was. It
was very funny, but you can't beat Sex Week Shirt Looty for me. No way.
All right. It's fair.
Free spirit like myself. Obviously, you have to pick the demon worshiper.
Yes. Well, I knew the story of the woman in the Sex Week shirt. Producers gave it to her and she said, fine. I have no idea what the story behind this demon is. I have no idea. There are too many mysteries. I will stay awake nights thinking about this.
Yeah, and maybe that's a problem. He didn't do well enough for you to get his story.
That's not his fault. That's the producers. The producers gave me 5 seconds, not even. Probably 2 seconds of this person.
That's his third audience game.
Well, maybe.
He's just running through shots.
But he caught my attention, and therefore he received my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week. Then we get this last thing where Zach can't blow on a conch shell, some more conch jokes. Then we see that he doesn't know what mulled wine is. He thinks it's mulled wine.
More shots at the Bachelor.
While this is funny, again, it's like, Jesus Christ, I get it. You don't like him, producers. I get it. DLP then makes fun of him when they come out to the studio, taking him down another peg. And then he teases the Sex Week talk coming up. And they've been talking about the Sex Week shit the whole time, too. That, too, is taking your Bachelor down a peg. He calls it Sex Week. The real name's mm-hmm. Fantasy Suites. It's like, no, it is Sex Week. That is what it is. Anyway, portion 11.
Sometimes it's sloppy.
Sometimes it's what? Sloppy mom?
Do you remember it? Do you remember that season where it was rumored that one person had given that one out of the three Fantasy Suites, one person had sex, one person had a blowjob, and one was a hand job, and one of them was sloppy.
I do remember this. I don't remember what season it was or who the players were, but yes, I do remember that.
I think I remember the season, but I'm not going to say.
All right, we'll have to dig deep and find that on the internet and the forums later. Portion 11, the final portion begins. DLP asks, what the heck goes down in the Fantasy Suites, and how does it all end? Then we get a promo for Sex Week. We see some Titanic-ing. We see he's in love. Katie has never felt this way. Three incredible relationships. Zach is love level three and kisses. Ariel love level threes. His heart is being pulled in separate directions. Zach says Sex Week. Shit can hit the fan. He decided that he's not going to have any sex in the Fantasy Suites. DLP says, you're going to be tempted. Something special happened. Zach has to talk to DLP about his sexual encounter, which is fucking bizarre. The women are then all crying.
DLP saying, you're tempted. I lulled so hard. I was like, people might even try to crash your season. Slip a hotel key.
Yeah.
Card into your pocket. Believe me, the temptation's there.
But the fact that there's this scene where Zach.
And her name is Gold Digger.
Yeah. Trish Snyder, we speak your name.
Trish Snyder's got. We got to get her on the pod.
I'll tell you, this may be my scream. We're not going to do a, by the way, for everyone listening, we're not doing a Twibbon this week. We're putting out these two episodes and we're going to take a break on Friday. But I will just tell you my scream now.
It's not a break because we're doing the same amount of episodes, just for the record.
We're giving, yes, I'm saying it's the same amount of episodes, but we're going to take Friday off. But I will issue my scream right now. I've made a decision, a personal decision. I'm going to find Alex Michelle.
Okay.
And we're going to interview him on Game of Roses. I don't know how this is going to happen yet, but I made this decision. Oh, I'm committing to it. That is my scream.
Enter into pieces of evidence. Alex Michelle's restraining order against Bachelor Clues.
I just want to talk to the man. So Zach, then we see this little scene where Zach is going to have to talk to DLP about his sexual encounter. Once again, I am reminded of Perfect Match. Can you imagine any time in that show, them making, the players talk to DLNL, Dark Lord Nick Lachey?
Can I imagine them having to talk to him? Yes. What do you mean?
it just seems so strange and like antiquated to me. Yeah, that they're like, now you have to talk to the host about the sex you had because it's you did a bad thing. It's very bizarre.
Here's what's antiquated: a sex ban on Sex Week.
If you're the lead, you can do whatever you want.
I disagree. And I honestly don't think it's his decision.
What's that?
That's maybe my conspiracy tone, is that I think the producers made him do this.
They made him have sex?
No, made him not have sex. Like, say he's not going
to
have sex.
Oh, right. To match Goldini.
This would be a good idea. Really be like Goldini. You know what he did, and everyone fucking loves him. They bought all his couches.
And it worked, because he didn't get caught up with the sex part. He got to know the people. But here, we find out that that may not be what happened. The women are all crying. A beautiful moment is robbed. Katie's confused and not happy. She wants to go home. Ariel's crying. Gabby's crying. True love is worth fighting for. There's a sparkler. He's trying to figure it out. Back in the studio, DOP asks Zach to tell Bachelor Nation what they can expect. And he goes, oh, something very overwhelming. Scripted. DOP teases Fantasy Suites.
When he says, it'll promise you it's overwhelming, they cut to two figures in the crowd. An audience dynamic duo of faceplay, the likes of which I've never seen before. Both of the pair look overwhelmed just at the mere mention that they're going to be overwhelmed when they finally get to see the final cut of Sex Week unfold. And that's why they got my
faceplay of the game.
A dynamic duo faceplay. Shocked face. It's hard.
That's fantastic.
Look, I tried. Yeah. I tried to get my face plays in the document. It's hard to do.
Yes, I agree. Because it can't be too crazy. If it's too crazy, they're not going to use you. It's got to be right on the cusp.
No, but this was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Well, congratulations. Then we see DLP teases that Sex Week, the dramatic conclusion. Then he says, oh, remember, I told you something was going to happen that never happened before. That's coming right up. He thanks everyone there. And he also thanks everybody in Bachelor Nation. Then all the players and all the people in the studio file out.
And he also says, my buddy here goes into three fantasy suites. I feel like that was improv.
Yeah, he's definitely a little off the cuff. He's a little more bro-y than DLH ever was. I'm curious if that will fade as he ages. We shall see. But DLP then goes into an empty soundstage, and he tells us that he's about to tell one of the players she's going to be the next Bachelorette. She has no idea that's happening. This is a straight lie. She may not know for sure she's the Bachelorette.
She doesn't know the for sure part.
But they have put the contract in front of her. She knows she's at least in the running. He knocks on the door, and there it's Charity sitting with a producer. Then they say, we're going to play this game for social media. And he asks her these rapid fire questions, this or that, vacation or staycation, vacation. I'll take staycation. Dine in or dine out. What do you take, Pace Case?
Mini move or staycation.
Yeah, I prefer staycation over mini move. What do you take?
Mini move.
Dine in or take out?
Oh, that's hard. Depends. Are there french fries involved? Then dine out.
Okay.
Dine in.
So you're both? You're either or? I take dine out, sunrise or sunset.
I just punch DLP in the face when I get that question. Can't answer.
Yeah, how dare you. Sunrise or sunset?
Never seen the sunrise. Gotta be sunset.
I take sunset.
That's just kidding. I have seen it.
Camping or glamping?
Glamping.
I agree with Charity here, neither. VIP or Bachelorette? And this is the all-important question. They're setting her up, and she answers it correctly. Bachelorette.
VIP. That's what I would have said.
I would have said that as well. DLP then says, I'm glad you said Bachelorette, because Charity, I want you to be our next Bachelorette. He is claiming ownership of the decision here. He did not decide this. He had no part in this decision. He was not in any conversation. I think... Now, look, we disagree about DOP on a lot of levels, but I will say this. I thought that perhaps that was him doing that, that they said that they told him to say the decision's been made. You're going to be the next Bachelorette, something passive like that. And he was like, I want you to be the next. But I think he did it by himself to claim ownership of some part of the show.
I think so, too. Well, OK, love that. But. It also might have been like they got a bunch of takes. They're like, you're going to be the next Bachelorette. And then I really want you to be the Bachelorette, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they just cut that part.
You know, with the thing where they had the Greer Blitzer apology and the the thing where he says, we've been bad about tackling the serious issues. They did make him say, I spent some time with Dr. Banks and I'm learning too.
Yeah.
He is now essentially serving the true function of host as identity of the show. And so maybe here, that's just an extension of this. I'm not sure.
Good for him.
I agree.
I also think like, yeah, she needed to know that it was official because they have not announced it like this.
Yeah. So he asked her, I want you to be our next Bachelorette. She feigns surprise, covering her face and saying she's going to cry.
Feigns? She produces tears.
Yeah. And you think that's for TRR?
Yeah.
Charity is maybe the best tear player we've ever seen. She can definitely produce tear at will. This is a TAW player. I don't know if any of her tears are for TRR or if they're not. She's that good. I literally don't know. So at any rate, she gets the crown. She accepts the crown. And as of right now, as of this recording, she started out again tonight with 28.4K. We are now recording this. The show has concluded in all time zones in the United States. She is now sitting at 35.8K. So she has not yet put on 10,000 followers as a result of this announcement. That's the era we're living in. We will keep a close eye on that, obviously. Very curious to see what she starts her Bachelorette season with, what she ends it with.
She's risen by like a third, right?
Ish, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder. It's like, is it just anyone they announce it would be this low?
Yes, because
I think it's probably especially low.
The show has done a very good job of making its audience hate social media. It's like they demonize any mention of Instagram, anyone who talks about it. On this very show tonight, Anastasia got lit up for it.
Oh, maybe you'll get 50K.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get your 50K you wanted.
And it's like they've just fucking ground it into the fucking dust that you can't have Instagram. So the people who watch, the people who, like, we're still following it because that type of propaganda doesn't work on us. But I think there's a piece of the audience where it does. And they're like, yeah, fuck Instagram. I'm not going to follow these people. I think that's a true thing. I think that's there. At any rate, she reacts happily. She says she's waited forever to meet her person. She's now looking for her happily ever after. She calls her mom to tell her the good news. Her mom's speechless. Her dad has stopped breathing, he says. And she's like, no, dad, you got to breathe. They're very proud of her. They're going to be with her every step of the way. So we're already getting like a parental blessing of whatever's about to happen. She hangs up after she tells her parents, I love you. And she says she can't wait to show little girls that look like her that being in a position like this is possible. A fantastic end. Overall, a very interesting woman tell all.
A truly Cinderella performance in this woman tell all. Perfectly done. I think she's going to be a fantastic Bachelorette.
I do too. I'm looking very forward to that season. Who was your MVP?
Look, this was hard for me. Both cats played their tails off. The face play. Yeah. The dirty work, 4TWR accusations, the PTC play. But Charity was my
MVP.
She knocked this out of the park. Perfect game. The tier play is iconic. I think she's going to do a fantastic job.
Charity was also my
MVP.
Yes, she is. I mean, she's basically made to do this, I feel like.
Yes.
And we've never seen a Bachelorette.
She looks like a Disney princess.
Yeah, looks the part, acts the part, all of that. We've never seen a Bachelorette, I don't believe, that has this level of tier play control. Good luck to any guy who's going to try to be more for TRR than her. Good luck. She's going to be able to play the victim in any situation, no matter what it may be, because of that tier play, let alone all of her other skills. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen in her season.
She's so for TRR. She was able to drop bombs this season, perhaps some that even took out some of her main competitors for next crown.
Exactly. She seems impervious, which I think in Bachelorette is going to be very interesting against whatever players are about to come into this season. But yeah, I'm excited for her to be Bachelorette. I wish, like with all the players this season, we would have gotten to see more of her, like who, what her personality is. Hopefully they'll start to infuse that back into the show a little bit, because I think they really have removed a lot of that.
Shaved all the edges off of everything.
Yeah. I recently rewatched Andy Dorfman's Night One, you know, for personal reasons. That's the first appearance of the greatest player.
This isn't the Scream.
That ever... Is this a Scream? We're not doing Twimmin. So my next Scream is I rewatched Nick Vial's first appearance. Sometimes I like to do that. But I'll tell you what happened in that season. Something that I noticed.
Cut to restraining order.
He's a good fucking basketball player. I mean, bachelor player. Anyway, I'm just saying that in that season, something that I noticed was that all those players are super fucking happy and you get their personalities like immediately. It comes through. And I think that it's not only the editing of the show, but it's the culture that the producers have created where players don't feel like they can do that type of play anymore because there might be backlash and the producers might cut them to look fucking horrible. So you get players playing a much more subdued style and you get edits that cut out any of the fun shit. Like we saw tonight, those three scenes, the twerking, the kissing lesson, the shit talk. Those scenes were fucking good.
They were amazing.
They like you saw their personalities come through a little bit in that. So I don't know. I don't know where we're headed next season with Charity as our bachelorette, but I am looking forward to it. I hope she gets some more Instagram followers. If you're not following her, please do. She's got 35 posts and, you know, it's very curated now. She's a bachelorette. Like, this is exactly what you'd expect an incoming bachelorette's Instagram to look like. But love to see her numbers get up. I want to see what she can do parasocially, what she can do as an influencer.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see it.
Me too. But that wraps up our recap of the historic Bachelor Season 27 Women Tell All. Oh, wait, before we go. Who do you think did enough to get into paradise that was maybe on the bubble or didn't have a chance before? Did Olivia do enough in that first fight?
Maybe to be last sand.
Exactly. Did Victoria Jameson do enough?
Again, last sand. But I could see them coming in,
yeah,
you know, torpedo players at the end.
I think that that is possible, but there was...
Kat secured sand.
Yes. Kat, I think, did it.
Both cats.
Well, I think Catherine was going no matter what. Because they want her and Brooklyn to be there to fight.
Yeah.
DLP basically said it on stage. Like, you guys are going to paradise, right? We got to see you keep fighting.
Jess will be there.
Jess will probably be there. But I'm talking about, like, really, it's Kat, Faceplay Kat, Victoria Jameson, Olivia, Madison. Do you think she didn't do anything? She wasn't even in the whole
She's
cut.
She's got to be gone. Although I would say that about Mandrell's edit, too. So I don't know. They better put Mandrell on sand. I'm going to be so pissed.
Maybe she told them no.
Why do you think that?
Because she was out of the edit and she didn't do anything in this show.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I hope to see her as well. I hope to see all these players.
I think Mercedes secured her spot. I just loved that twerking lesson.
Yes. I think pretty much everybody else is like likely. I think mathematically that's wrong. Like there will be a couple of people out of the rest of them who don't make it, but I was just curious what you thought. But again, that concludes our recap of this historic Bachelor Season 27, Women Tell All, and announcement of Charity Lawson as the next Bachelorette. It's going to be Season 20, which they're shooting now. Good luck to all players involved. Good luck to Charity. And before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It's been 7,660 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then